Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and welcome, Sarah Ellen. What a beautiful, beautiful day it was here today.
Oh, nice.
So wonderfully nice. My neighbor across the street baked some Christmas cookies and brought me over some Christmas cookies, so I wanted to give her a copy of Abundantly Well. And yes, it really has taken me 3 months to get across the street, but the timing was perfect because I went across the street with Lisa today to give her the book, and we had the day off, and her son really wanted to play on the goat tower, and so we had a picnic this afternoon, our first spring picnic.
Oh, how fun. Wow.
And what did you do today?
Oh, goodness. I have been packing and sorting, organizing, a whole bunch of checks off the to-do list. So I've had a productive day.
All right. All checks on the to-do list. Yes.
Yeah. Long to-do list. We've been packing. The house has got a lot of the contents are out. The furniture is still in, which we're going to leave for while it's for sale and just move our stuff and get kind of do it in two stages. Get the animals and our stuff down there and then move the heavy things later with some help.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out well because, we're offering a free deal. Moving help when you rent the storage locker that moved. So that, it just seems like it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So we got a plan and it's underway and animals are, everything's good so far as I know. Kitties are still, you know, a little squirrely about, I think they know something's up, but it's okay. I'm thinking positive. We're going to do it.
Do it. All right. Cats are like that, aren't they? They know.
Oh, they so know. Yeah, they definitely know. And we got to get one neutered before we leave. One of my little cat that lives inside, he's time to be neutered. So we got a long checklist of things to do. But as you said, the weather was beautiful. We did enjoy. It was windy, but warm up of weather, so that's nice when you're trying to move stuff.
It was not at all windy here today, but yesterday it was. Yesterday I said, oh, look how beautiful and sunny it is. I'm going to go eat breakfast outside, and I came running back in about 4 minutes later when the wind blew.
So
cold, cold wind.
Hmm.
Yay, so everybody is getting their stuff together to start their seeds. It's always nice to have some compost put away from the fall compost moving so that you have some really fine compost to start those seeds in. And, of course, there's always the debate about bottom heat or no bottom heat. My brother, who's a very avid vegetable, is a big fan of bottom heat. I unfortunately have dried out plants with bottom heat, so I'm a little aware of how much care it needs.
Mm. Wow.
Do you use
so
bottom
means
heat when you start seeds?
No, I don't think so. Does that mean, well, first I don't
usually
know
bottom
means
heat is like a mat, so like an electric mat that you put under your seed trays. And it keeps them warm from the bottom. And it's supposed to get you better germination from the seeds and all like that.
Oh, yeah. I am not a green thumb enough to be able, I have not had success even starting seeds inside, bottom heat or not. And so, no.
I got it.
It's outside. And I've got some interesting stuff happening out there this year. Some of the collards and the chard actually overwintered. And they're growing. Yeah, they're growing like new baby leaves that look like fresh and delicate. It's amazing.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Yes. it really is.
Yeah.
The way that they are phoenix-like, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I let the garden do as much of the work as possible. And, hopefully we won't be around long enough to see much of it. But, and the new people who love our home will. But, I remember I toyed around with the idea of just letting an area become like a wild heirloom garden because so many things were refeeding themselves. So we have that area, and things are up, so we'll see at least maybe what gets started, like broccoli seeds in there and peppers and pumpkins and, I mean, whatever was left on its own, I helped scatter seeds in there. So
letting nature have its way.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
we wicked gardeners, us.
Yes. Oh, goodness. That was my first foray into the yard, was being, super wicked. I had to, I was armed with Roundup, and a silly me, I didn't even read the instructions on how to use it. I was in college. I went and sprayed it and then proceeded to rip everything out after spraying it, thinking, I don't know what, it was going to make it easier to pull out or something. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, but I didn't take it too easy on the yard after that even. So it took me a while to become in partnership rather than just to be, you know, fully wicked and have my way with everything. So I'm grateful to be in this place. Peaceful,
yes.
Enjoyable.
Gratitude. And gratitude, yes, is part of how you get there too. To be thankful for it. We were so thankful for the first daffodils opening up today, not even quite opened. Picked both of them, put one bit of water here by my side, and gave the other one to my neighbor, Anna. They are also, not just my neighbors, they are also the lighthouse keepers.
Oh, cool. On the same, like, Hudson area where you take the boat out?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Where that lighthouse is, the Sauger Deep Lighthouse.
Very nice.
Now, it's, of course, no longer a working lighthouse. What with electronics, no one needs a lighthouse anymore. But it is a historic building, and it does require a presence there. And it's a B&B. You can stay there.
Ooh, nice.
So they're in charge of all of that, as the caretakers of the Sauger Deep Lighthouse. What a fun job to have.
That's what I was just thinking. That sounds like fun. How do you get hooked up with something like that? That sounds great.
Right? I told Anna that when I bought the property in 1978, that all of the houses were occupied by old ladies, women in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Really old ladies. And then I was very glad I didn't have, you know, more than a few years with any of them before they were gone. But it was such a great way for me to touch in to the history of the place where I'm living, Pearl, whose house I'm living in, who was born across the street, who I knew in her 90s, and who's been dead for, gracious, probably 25 years now. Tell me that remembering when the road was paved. And not, there were big trucks paving it, but they took the stone, you see, and put it down on the side for the wheels of the carts, but they had to leave the middle dirt for the horses.
Wow. Oh, stories, fun old stories. Oh, what a treasure that she goes with you.
Yeah. And of course, Cricket, the 9-year-old boy, was thrilled that he was invited. He said, "Can I come and climb in the goat tower?" I said, "Of course you can, Cricket." So we came safely across the street from his house and over to the goat tower, and he scampered up, and I quoted to him from Dolores La Chapelle, a great mountaineering woman who said to me, "You can get up just about every mountain in the world, but the vast majority of them, you can't get back down again."
Oh, my goodness. How high did he go up?
He went all the way up.
Oh,
as high as you can go.
How old is he?
And then he didn't want to come back down. He wanted one of us to come up for him, and I said, mm-mm.
No. Wow. I cannot even imagine. He went out on the little spindle steps?
Well, they're not spindles. They're big, fat, you know.
They don't look that big from the ground. Like I.
Yes, and I've been up there too.
Wow, you're brave. I already knew that, but wow. Oh my goodness. I don't know about that.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I bet he had a...
We have a wonderful guest this evening who's going to be with us at 9 o'clock East Coast time, Carolyn Jones, who is the founder of the Healing Project. She's an herbalist and a holistic health practitioner, and she talks about self-care. She's the author of Pick Up Your Bed and Walk, A Guide to Improved Health, and an affirmation book titled Incantations. So I have to decide if I'm going to ask her anything at all about these things that she does that I am so opposed to, or if we're going to, like, just steer it on to, you know, the topics that we agree on. But she does aromatherapy. Oh, dear, essential oils. Very bad news, especially for the immune system. And flower essence therapy. Oh, you know, I think it promotes the biggest sickness on this planet, which is the belief that there's a difference between spirit and matter. To use something that's just the essence of something implies that it's somehow different than, better than, the actual physical thing. And after all, what's a flower but the physical organs of the plant? So really, it's kind of a weird sexual thing, too, this flower essence is. And detoxification therapy. Oh, my goodness, you know, I just don't really believe in toxins, so I don't believe in detoxification at all. Or maybe another way to put it is I know that my liver and my kidneys, that my lungs and my skin are superb at getting rid of the things they can get rid of. And if they can't get rid of them, then my body can't get rid of them at all. I'm not really worried about detoxifying because, jolly gee, if you detoxify, then you must think you're going to start to fill up with toxins right away again. So I probably won't talk to her about aromatherapy or flower essences or detoxification. We'll talk about skepticism and misconceptions about herbal medicine and how she integrates herbal medicine with conventional medicine. Come and join us at 9 o'clock, or stick with us until then. Anything else you want to say about what's going on at your place?
No, thank you. I'm good, and thanks everyone for listening. I'll keep you updated as it unfolds.
Yes. How about the goats? Do the goats know something is up?
They don't seem too concerned about it if they do know that something is up. I don't think that they really do yet because I haven't started, other than the ear tags, which two of them are a little suspect of me now. They're like the little Weather, the young Weather, doesn't want to go back on the milk stand because he's only gone on there now for, you know, unpleasant things. So that's not good. But other than that.
Right. Got it.
Yeah. Having his hooves cut, but this was an unpleasant thing. So, the weather's a little difficult to stand now. not yet, I don't think. The cats are definitely trying to figure out what's going on, why I moved everything around, I think. So I'm trying to...
Yeah, probably because the cats are in the house there with you, so they really see it happening.
Oh, that's a different story, those cats. Yeah, I meant the barn cats. Yeah, the cats in
the
house.
Oh, the barn cats even. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've switched things up to get them in a situation where I can, you know, corral them when necessary. Hopefully. Here. Yeah.
I think I may have mentioned that there was a memorial for my lover, Fern. Yes, she's been dead for 13 years. It's true. But she was a big presence in Austin. And so the women's bookstore there had a memorial for her, and it caused me to go into my library and open the box. I visited her right before she died, And she gave me all of the letters I ever wrote to her. And they were in a sealed box, and I opened it up. And that's been quite the thing, because Fern and I became lovers in 1979. I certainly haven't read them all. Oh, my goodness. I wrote probably 60 letters to her in the first 3 years, 79, 80, and 81. And one of the things that I have been delighted to see is that we wrote each other a lot of poetry. This is a poem that I wrote in October 1980, and it says, "To the goddess, bind me. Weave a spider web of heartstrings, filament of moonbeams. Bind me. Spin a wool cloud into yarn and knit me warm into your life. Bind me. Throw your net around me. Find the pattern in our living. Bind me. Stitch the quilt that covers naked love and cords it to life."
Wow. Have you ever published poetry? That is amazing.
Well, there might be a chapbook here between what Fern and I have written to each other in poetry. Justine said, "Oh, you should publish all the letters." I said, "Darling, they're very steamy."
I mean, definitely for you to enjoy now and back then for all those years. And wow, what a treasure if you choose to share. I mean, that was fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's always nice to be with someone who likes poetry. I have written poetry for every lover I've ever had, and some of them like poetry, so I write them a lot, and some of them are like, so I stop.
Oh, can't even imagine an especially if it's like that. I mean, that.
Yeah.
Oh, genius.
Let's see. Where is this one that I'm looking for here? This is a poem that Fern wrote to me. "I come through the air dressed in white, with white surprises tucked in my pockets. You meet me at the airport, and there is no other plan. Just you driving somewhere, my fingers making you smile as very slowly we move together out of the city."
Wow. What a welcome to town.
Right? There's a lot of very sweet love in all of those letters. It's very nice to be present to that. But it's also such a shock to re-encounter that me of so long ago.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, how about answering questions? Are there any questions out there?
Let's see. I see lots of numbers, and everyone, if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, all you need to do is press 1. That will allow us to see your hand in the queue. I'm not seeing, there we go. I see one hand that has been raised. So again, if you would like to raise your hand, just press 1. That'll get your hand up in the queue, and when it's your turn, we'll announce your area code and open your line. So I see 2 hands at this time, and we'll go first to the 802 area code. In the 802, you are live with Susan.
Hello, 802. No answer from 802.
No, we don't hear you, 802. So we will close your line and go to the other hand first. And you are the 213. And the 213, your line is open and you are live with Susan. Hello?
Hello. What's up tonight?
Hi. Wait, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Hi, is this Susan?
This is Susan. Hi.
Oh, Susan, it's so nice to hear you. I have your book, Childbearing Year.
Yeah.
Whole year.
Eyes of
really
the Herbal for this Childbearing Year. You got it. Exactly right.
Yeah. It really helped me all throughout my pregnancy, and now I am postpartum with a beautiful little baby girl.
Aww.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Thank God. It's such a blessing. My name is Eve, and my daughter's name is Penina.
Hi, Eve. And what's her name? Your baby's name?
Penina.
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 Oh, cute.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, so I'm having some hormonal imbalance issues with having like multiple periods a month. So I was looking into different herbs to take, and I was thinking of taking lady's mantle or shepherd's purse, but both of those I see online are telling me not to take those when I'm breastfeeding.
I hope you understand that every place online will tell you not to take any herb while you're breastfeeding.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Like, I just have a feeling
that it's covering, it's what I call covering their butt.
Yes, that's what
that's
I was
all
thinking.
They are doing. They are not imparting important information. They are covering their butt.
Exactly, that's what I was feeling.
Right. So tell me more about having two periods a month. You're having a period every 2 weeks?
So far, yeah. I mean, so basically she's 5 months old. I bled after I gave birth to her.
Uh-huh.
I bled for like 3 months.
Every day?
And then
you bled every day for 3 months?
Yes.
Okay. And so your caretaker thought that that was reasonable and okay?
I mean, so I'm from California, but I married somebody from London, so now I live in the UK, which I'm calling you from Manchester right now.
Oh, thanks for staying up.
And, yeah, but so we have socialized health care here, the NHS, which is a disaster.
I know. Anytime anybody talks to me about socialized health care, I say, just go live in England for a year and wait 2 years for your cancer treatment after you've been diagnosed.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
Now you socialized medicine? Who are you kidding?
Exactly, exactly. It is a total disaster. So I don't really, it's like I don't have health care. It's really difficult to get an appointment. It's like even when I do, the doctors, they just don't really care about you. They're burnt out. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's not that they don't care about you. It's that they have no caring left. They've just been emptied of it. It's
exactly.
a real sadness. I mean, they're caring people, but we're all human, and we need restoring time and not just constant pressure. And so many doctors nowadays really, you know, are literally prevented from. I remember when it started, right, my doctor friends were saying, oh, my gosh, you know, now they're timing how long somebody's in our office.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So.
Yeah, that's tough.
So what you're saying is you bled daily for the first 3 months after you gave birth, and you didn't see any health professional. At that point, shepherd's purse or lady's mantle might have been a very good idea. However, what I think is, if you were bleeding for all of that time postpartum, my thoughts would be, is there an infection? Infection can cause this kind of bleeding. Is there still product of conception in her uterus? So I would want to feel and maybe an ultrasound to see if there's still something in there that's causing you to bleed, ruling those bad things out, because I like to rule the bad things out first. And let's just, for the sake of saying, let's just say we've ruled those out. I'm not saying that I know for sure we can, but let's just say that. Then we're left with bleeding from lack of uterine tone.
Right.
And lady's mantle might help. Red raspberry is the usual herb that we think of when we think of uterine tone.
Right, right.
So if you have access to red raspberry tea, or red raspberry infusion, there is no such thing as balanced hormones. If you had balanced hormones, you wouldn't be able to conceive and give birth. Your whole ability to be a fertile woman depends on your hormones changing. Right? So, approximately once every 28 or so days, you create an extremely dangerous kind of estrogen called estradiol. And estradiol triggers a whole cascade of things that go on, starting up in the pituitary and extending through the entire hormonal system. And the first thing that happens is follicle-stimulating hormone is made. And follicle-stimulating hormone does exactly what its name says. All hormones are messengers, and this message is to the follicles to stimulate them to turn into eggs, because there are no eggs in your ovary. There are follicles. So follicle-stimulating hormone is produced. It stimulates the follicles to turn into eggs, usually anywhere from, 10 to 12 in one ovary, alternating ovaries month by month. Mature, the follicles mature into eggs, and then there's a Miss Egg contest. And the winner of the Miss Egg contest gets to burst her way out of the ovary. There is no exit from the ovary. She has to break a hole in it, and the others are supposed to die of shame. If they don't, they become a cyst. When the follicle has been stimulated to become an egg, an actual ovum, bursts out of the ovary, it leaves behind its outer part. Human eggs are the opposite of chicken eggs. Our inner part is white and our outer part is yellow. So think of like a chicken egg, only with the reverse colors, and it squeezes, pops out of the ovary, makes a hole and pops out, and it leaves, the part around the yolk behind, and just the yolk pops out, and that's the yellow body, and Latin for yellow is lutein, and that makes luteinizing hormone. And luteinizing hormone then triggers the production of progesterone. So your body starts making progesterone, and progesterone causes the proliferation of cells in the endometrium, which lines the uterus. So progesterone makes a rich, nourishing, great bed for that possibly fertilized egg that's coming down there. If the egg is fertilized, progesterone continues to rise, and you're pregnant. If the egg is not fertilized, progesterone stops being made. Estrogen is made in greater quantities, and you menstruate.
So interesting.
And that cycle from the release of estradiol to menstruation takes roughly 14 days.
Right.
So that's about a 28-day cycle, 14 days from the beginning of menstruation to ovulation, and then 14 days from ovulation until menstruation. The part of that cycle that is changeable is the part from menstruation to ovulation. That can be shorter or longer. The part that stays the same is the part from ovulation to menstruation. Because it is a timed sequence of events, then it can't really be sped up or slowed down.
Right.
So your hormones aren't imbalanced. You just are in a body that for some reason has decided that it needs to conceive again.
Right, yeah. How do I get myself balanced? A little bit better, though, is what I'm...
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what you're eating and drinking right now. Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what nourishing herbal infusions are?
I assume you're meaning like teas.
No, I'm not at all meaning tea.
Okay.
A tea is a small amount of fresh or dried herb brewed for a short time. That's not what I'm talking about. A nourishing herbal infusion is 30 grams or 1 ounce of dried herb brewed overnight in a liter or quart of boiling water. There are 5 herbs that we use as nourishing herbal infusions. We use them one at a time. Stinging nettle, oat straw, red clover, comfrey leaf, and linden blossom.
Okay.
So what I suggest that people do is that you buy a reasonable amount of each one of these herbs, like at least 1/2 pound. If you can afford it, buy a pound. Because you're going to be using, or 1/2 kilo, because you're going to be using 30 grams a day. That means you're going to be using 1 kilo of herb a month.
Okay, wow.
Right, 30 times 30, 900 grams.
Right.
It's a lot of herb. A cup of nettle tea has about 5 milligrams of calcium. A cup of nettle infusion has about 250.
Okay.
Because you're using a large quantity of herb and because it is being brewed overnight. Now, it doesn't have to be in a fire. You boil the water. You can pour the boiling water over the dried herb in a jar or put the herb into the boiling water in a pan, cover it, and just let it steep overnight. It doesn't have to, be a fire on under it.
Okay. And you said 30... to
grams.
1 quart of water, 30 grams to 1 quart of water.
Okay. Of water.
Got it. Okay.
Or a liter
and
if we're going to stay. If we're going to stay some coherence there, 30 grams to a liter, 1 ounce to a quart.
Right, okay.
Right. It was a liter, so it was just slightly bigger. 30 grams is just a little more than an ounce. So,
okay.
But yes, you could do 30 grams in a quart. Or an ounce in a liter, and it will still work. So what you're doing when you're drinking these, and they're just fine. All of them are fine for pregnant and or lactating women. What you're doing is providing your body with huge amounts of protein and minerals. And this is going to allow your body to work much better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
In... countries where women routinely don't get enough to eat. They hardly ever lactate while they are breastfeeding because they just don't have the calories or the nutrition to do both things at once, to breastfeed and to be pregnant.
Right.
So it's pretty much a problem of modern, very well-fed women that we manage to ovulate or menstruate while we're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So it's, again, what I'm trying to establish for you is there's nothing wrong with what's going on with you. There's a large variation of how your body reacts to the postpartum return to fertility.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just feel like it's such a new, it's like a nuisance to me.
Well, that I certainly hear. Vitex is said to be the herb that most affects the pineal gland. So I have known women who weren't ovulating to use a Vitex and to be able to conceive. I have known women who were starting menopause who were worried about lack of estradiol and used Vitex, and that helped to establish that. So that might be an herb that you would want to avoid. I'm not sure. The other thing that I remember is work by a woman named Louise Lacey. And Louise had been taking birth control pills for number of years, and then she decided she wanted to get pregnant. She stopped taking birth control pills, and her period was very wacky.
Okay.
And she thought her hormones were imbalanced. And when she looked into it, she saw, oh no, your hormones can't either be balanced or imbalanced. But that what she decided was that her cycle wasn't cyclical. So she arranged to sleep in the dark with a mask on and with all the light blocked from her room for every night except for 3 nights of the full moon. And then she allowed the light of the full moon to shine on her closed eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually said that the pineal is the third eye and that it can see light even through our eyelids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she called this lunaception. Within a few months, her period was stabilized.
Oh.
She ovulated at the full moon. The light of the full moon triggers the production of estradiol, luteinizing hormone, right, follicle-stimulating hormone, da-da-da-da-da, the whole dance of the hormones. And then at the dark of the moon, we bleed.
Right. Okay.
So that's certainly something that you could try. I'd like to see you drinking the nourishing herbal infusions because, of course, my take on everything is more nourishment is needed.
All right. Okay. I like that.
It's the easiest way to get more nourishment. I usually actually suggest, if you can afford it, and I know it can be expensive, to drink nothing but nourishing herbal infusion. And you're going to be pretty thirsty as a lactating woman. 2 or even 3 quarts of infusion a day is not an unreasonable amount for a lactating woman to consume.
Right, okay.
Okay. These are absolutely safe. People say to you, oh, you can't drink comfrey. Tell you, comfrey is poisonous. And I will tell you that we had a comfrey conference. We had 15 presenters at the comfrey conference, including a midwife who has been using Comfrey with pregnant and lactating women for 25 years and seen only good results.
Wow.
I personally have been drinking Nourishing Herbal Infusion a quart a day for over 30 years. So there's 5 herbs that I rotate through. That means I drink 6 quarts of each a month, right? This being 30 days, 5 into 30 is 6. 6 times 12, I drink 6 quarts a month, 12 months, that's 72 quarts that I drink. And 72 quarts, well, gosh, 80 quarts would be 20 gallons. So I personally have drunk about 20 gallons of Comfrey infusion every year for 35 years. And when they took a look at my liver before they operated on me, because they needed to know that my liver would survive the anesthesia, they said, oh my goodness, your liver is like so much younger than your biological age.
Wow, that's amazing.
So not only did Comfrey, has Comfrey not injured my liver in any way at all, it has helped me to survive 17 hours of surgery.
Wow.
Hooray for Comfrey. None of these herbs is going to directly influence your hormones, because I don't like to do that, because I don't really know what hormones your body needs. Now, some people will say, oh, yeah, red clover does, because red clover has phytoestrogen in it. As a matter of fact, the conference we're having this year is the Red Clover Conference, because there's so much nonsense online about red clover. The 3 times in a woman's life when she needs to be drinking red clover is when she's lactating, when she's pregnant or hoping to get pregnant, and if she has a cancer diagnosis, especially breast cancer. But if you've been looking online, you will have noticed that those are the 3 times when they say you should never use red clover.
Right.
They are wrong. Well, maybe wrong is too mean a thing to say. They're just covering their own ass.
Yeah.
But I don't have an ass to cover. I have experience. I have, with my peers, hundreds and hundreds of years of experience. And we can tell what's happening because we don't use herbs in pills or in combinations. It's very important not to mix these herbs together. Just do one at a time.
Okay.
So you think you're going to start there and start doing that?
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
And I don't think that the shepherd's purse or the lady's mantle would necessarily help a lot right now. I don't think they would hurt if you wanted to play with them and you know, see what's happening. But I just don't think that they're going to do what you're hoping they would do.
Okay. So what are, can you say the herbs again that you recommend for the herbal infusion? Okay.
Stinging nettle.
Right.
Oat straw.
Okay.
Red clover.
Okay.
Comfrey leaf.
Okay.
Linden.
Okay, and those are to be taken separately. And how long would you suggest, like, a period of time where you're only drinking that specific herb for would be? Like a week?
I don't know, maybe the next 75 years?
Oh.
Why would you ever want to drink anything else?
Well, I mean, like, would I do, like, stinging nettle one night and then oat straw the next night, or like
the
time?
That's exactly what you do.
Okay, cool. I got it.
Yeah, You drink quinine nettle one night, and a straw the next night, and the next night the next one, and you just keep going like that.
Okay. Okay, great.
And again, that's...
Well, I'm going to get on that.
That's what I've been doing for the past 35 years. And as a matter of fact, I don't drink any water ever.
Oh, interesting.
Water demineralizes you.
Oh. Okay.
Very bad idea to drink water.
Huh. Okay.
Right? You're going to be thirsty. You're lactating. You're putting out a lot.
Yeah.
Drink those nourishing herbal infusions. Build yourself up. Get good protein. Get good minerals instead of rinsing the minerals out of your body with the water.
Right.
I often say to people, if you wanted to moisturize your face, you wouldn't put water on it.
Right?
You can't hydrate by drinking water. That doesn't work. You're made of fat.
Right. Okay.
You have to have a liquid that contains protein, minerals, and better yet, if it has fat in it, in order to hydrate yourself.
Okay.
So you're going to switch out from water. You're going to start drinking nourishing herbal infusions. If you don't have the money to drink that much nourishing herbal infusions, coffee, green tea, black tea, herbal tea, hot chocolate are all good choices for beverage. They're all loaded with antioxidants.
Okay.
I
like that.
Good.
That sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Would you do me a big favor and call me back in like 4 to 6 weeks?
I will do that for sure. I'm so excited to have found this number and be able to talk to you and everything. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
You are welcome. Good night. Dream blessings.
Good night. God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, and I'll remind everyone listening, if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, just press 1. We'll see your hand go up in the queue, and when it's your turn, I will announce your area code and ask you to go ahead and speak live with Susan. Seeing 3 hands that are raised, we're going to try you in the 802 again. In the 802, your line is open, and you are live with Susan.
All right, can you hear me, Susan?
I can. Hi.
Hi. My name is Will, and I'm from Vermont. My daughter introduced me and my wife to you, several years ago. And at any rate, I have a heart condition that's developed in the last 9 months. A heart murmur was detected last June. And then I was diagnosed with a mitral valve regurgitation in December. And last week I met with a cardiologist, a cardiac surgeon, who recommended surgery to repair the mitral valve. So I'm calling to see if you have any... insights as to what I might do to help myself. I am looking into the surgery.
Absolutely, it's a very good idea.
The surgeon that I was working with recommended he does open heart surgery, which
I
find
ask.
Barbaric. So I'm getting in touch with several other clinics that do robotics. But at this point, I'm planning on going ahead with surgery because I don't know
and,
that the mitral valve can repair
itself. Just out of curiosity, what is it that you like about the robotics?
What do I like about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just because it's less invasive and the recovery time is shorter.
I know a woman who just had a surgery, a robotic surgery. And for the convenience of the robots, she was positioned upside down for 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
So her recovery was hideous. And it wasn't because the surgery needed to be. It was because the robots could do it better. And this is just one of many stories that I've heard where the robotic surgery might be this, that, or the other thing, but it doesn't put the patient first.
Yeah. Well,
the thing about that doctor doing open heart surgery is that the doctor has experience and the robot doesn't.
Well,
the doctor, when the doctor is there with your heart, can...
I don't know. The robotic surgery that I am investigating, it's operated by the surgeon.
Who can neither actually see, actually smell, or actually encounter your living tissues.
No, the robot arms are doing that.
Correct, and the surgeon is looking at a screen.
Right, right. So you don't
it's
think
kind
it's
of like
idea.
The grapple machine at the mall, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is, right? I think it's a little more refined, but...
It is a little more refined, but it's what I'm saying is that... When I was looking at a hysterectomy, I looked into robotic versus open, and what I found with a little sleuthing was that the long-term recovery rates for the open surgery are far better.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The short-term, the robotic looks better, but if you follow women out for 8 to 10 years, you see a big difference.
All right.
I just believe that human beings have something that robots don't.
Right. Well, my doctor, he said that he didn't like the robotics because it wasn't tactile for the, you know, you made that point as well. He likes getting his hands on the heart.
He wants to put not just his hands, but he can't sit, but he's also smelling. He's there. He's present. He's intuiting. He's grokking. He's like getting you.
Yeah.
So I hear you and I understand. It's frightening. And my sweetheart, who comes from a family of people who dropped dead of heart attacks in their 50s, and he's 78, has had a triple bypass and I think 7 stents placed and a heart valve replaced.
Oh my God.
And the heart valve replacement was done with a catheter. It was a TAVR, transaortic replacement. But I don't think that's a valve that you have the problem with. I don't think that can be done that way.
Right, right. Yeah.
I think that requires, I mean, it's open heart surgery one way or the other. They have to cut your heart.
Right. Right.
It's not like the robot doesn't cut your heart to replace the valve.
Well, yes, you're right.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. And what I think is really important is we take care of ourselves really well before the surgery.
Right.
You know, I told my surgeons, I said, you're not operating on a Ford gang. You're operating on a Mercedes. I treat it like a Mercedes. You treat it like a Mercedes. And the lead surgeon came to me in recovery afterwards and said, you know, you said that you weren't a Ford. You were a Mercedes. He said, but that's not right. He says, you're a Lamborghini. That's what you want the doctor to say to you, right?
Nice. Yeah.
You want the doctor came to Michael before they did the coronary artery bypass, graft, a cabbage, right? In which 3 of his major arteries were 85% blocked. They said to him, you're going to feel better, but you're not going to feel best because your heart has not been getting enough oxygen for a long, long time. And there's going to be areas of your heart that are totally dead because of this. And the surgeon came to him in recovery and said to him, I held your beating heart in my hand and there's no damage to it at all. What are you taking? Hawthorn and motherwort.
Well,
and his cardiologist has shown us pictures of new blood vessels growing to his heart under the influence of hawthorn and motherwort.
Well, good. That's good because I am on a hawthorn motherwort regular usage of tinctures.
Good, good, good. You're doing good by yourself.
Besides the five infusions.
All right. Excellent, excellent.
So
I think
I'm in good shape. I mean, I'm 80
years old. You're in great shape,
and
you're
going to
get through this, right? It's big.
I would recommend this open heart, except I look at you more as like you have the physicality of a 65-year-old. So at any rate, it sounds like I'm doing the right things. It's just that I'm not really convinced that, you know what, one
it
of
has
the
to be your decision.
Here.
You're the one who knows.
Yeah,
and it was very clear for me. I got very strong dreams. We were talking about this the other day. Somebody said, well, part of the problem with cannabis is you don't dream. I said, you know what? When I had a need to dream, believe me, I dream, right? And when I was first thinking about surgery, years before I actually had it, my dreams woke me up at night screaming and sobbing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very clear that I was not to go that route right then.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess I just have to think
about it some more. You know, be sensitive to yourself. And it's always hardest for us to make the decision. But I find, and I'm sure you've found this too, that once you have made that decision, support yourself.
Right, right, right.
Just support yourself. Just say, this is it. I am now making a decision, and any idea about what could have been or what I might have chosen is done. I don't want any more information about this. I'm now going to do it. I'm recalling my uncle who had a heart valve replaced, and myself and my cousin and his wife, my aunt, were in the hospital with him, and the doctor comes in and says, we have a video about the surgery. Would you like to see it? My uncle said, hell no. And my aunt and my cousin and I went in the other room and looked at the video. And my uncle Ed said later, he said, I don't know what they're doing. They just need to know what they're doing. I don't need to know what they're doing.
Right.
It's true enough, isn't it? He was
going to do it.
His moment of decision was long past. Pointless for him to look at it.
Right. Right. So, okay, well, good. I will...
he survived it just fine. He's now dead. But he had a nice new, I think he had pig valve from the latter part of his life, which worked just fine for him.
Right, right. I don't need a new valve.
It doesn't sound like it.
I just need
a little tinkering to the one you
repaired,
have.
And it's a common repair job.
All right. It's just like sounds like it's torn loose at a corner or something. Chris is not really corners.
Yeah, they can do open heart, and they also have done it robotically. So that's why I'm interested in the robotics. So it
but
seems
the robotics
like
is open
not
heart
an
too.
Uncommon
but the robotics is open heart.
Pardon?
The valve is inside your heart.
Right.
It's both open heart surgeries. They are both, whether it's robotic or not, it's open heart surgery.
Right, exactly, of course.
The coronary artery bypass graft was not open heart surgery.
No.
Because they did not have to cut the heart.
Right.
The killer's chest open. They killed him twice. But they didn't, it wasn't open heart surgery. Because they didn't actually cut into his heart. And the TAVR procedure goes through an artery, right, transaortic TAVR, right? So it's not open heart either. But
yeah.
The valve that we're talking about with you is in a place where you can't get to it that easy.
Right.
It's just tucked down in there. So
okay.
I think the thing that, for me, that I keep hearing from you is that somehow the robotic surgery isn't open heart surgery, but it is.
Right, of course.
Right. All of those instruments have to go into your body. Holes have to be punched in your body for the robot, for the camera. There's usually 4 holes punched in your body.
Yeah, 5 actually.
There you go. What heals better, a puncture wound or a cut?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
A puncture wound or
you've had puncture wounds before, and you know how hard they are to heal.
Oh, yeah, they are, yeah. I don't know, a 9-inch cut through my sternum doesn't sound that appealing.
You can't even see Michael's anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can sure see the holes where they put tubes in him. The punctures
yeah.
You can see, but the sternum cut you can't see anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not too worried about the after look.
The cosmetic effect of it, exactly.
I'm not a, as my...
You know,
one
of the things that, one of the things that somebody suggested to me...
You're not a year-old model, so a couple
yeah.
of scars...
But when you have a decision about something, that you ask the part of your brain that you don't usually get in touch with. So you, like, draw. Right? What... I remember, who was it? Bernie Siegel, when he was working with cancer patients, he would say, draw me a picture of yourself 2 years from now if we do radiation treatment. Draw me a picture of yourself 2 years from now if we do chemotherapy. Draw me a picture of yourself, right? And he would have them draw out so that the body, you know, information
yeah.
would be visible there in the drawings to help them decide what would work best. It's such an individual decision.
Yeah.
So you're doing great, and
we love you.
Heart,
we have to tell you we
love
you.
The heart is so
season.
Symbolic for all of us, isn't it?
We're totally dedicated.
Obviously the thing that's pumping your blood, but the heart is also about, and cardiologists have said to me that they talk to each other about people who are good-hearted.
Yeah.
And you are good-hearted. So, really, it's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. All right, well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate your insights. As I say, my daughter introduced us to you years ago, and so you're a big part of our family.
Thank you so much for giving me that precious, precious place. And we would all love to hear back after the surgery.
All right, I'll call you back. It'll probably be a month or two, but I'll give you a call.
That's just what I figured, that you'd know when.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Green blessing.
All right. And it looks like we have 3 callers that have pressed 1 to signal they have a question. We'll go to the next. And you've dialed in from the 347 area code. From the 347, your line is open and you're by the season.
Hello?
Hi. What's up tonight?
Hi, Susan. How are you? This is when
I'm well.
Great. I was talking to you about a month ago about my daughter was diagnosed with Crohn's, and you recommended that she take Slippery Elm. Yeah, so she's been doing that. She takes, I would say, about 1 to 2 tablespoons a day. And only, like, recently we noticed that her stool started to take shape, like, where, you know, she still has a little bit. Yeah, she goes, like, twice a day, I would say. So I think it's a really big part of helping her. it really, really majorly helped her, like more than medication, but she still has to be on medication. She's being, you know, guided by the doctors, and I don't know anything about this thing. So she's on prednisone. So the main thing right now is that she did start to complain of like a muscle weakness, leg pain, and ankle pain, and I'm afraid that the prednisone is maybe weakening her bones, and I'm like, I want to know what she can do to help her with having strong teeth and bones, even though she's been tapered off prednisone, but it's going to be like another 6 weeks until she's off of it completely. So I wanted to know what herbs are safe for her to take for healthy teeth and bones. She's also low in vitamin D and low in iron.
Mm-hmm. The easiest way for her to bring up her iron is to take a tablespoon of blackstrap molasses on a daily basis.
Okay. I'm going to write it down. How much of that would that be?
A tablespoon, a big spoonful. A big spoonful of blackstrap molasses will bring up her iron very, very quickly, and it tastes good.
Okay.
If she wants to mix it in with warm water, that's perfectly acceptable. You can just, like, kind of chug it down, you know, take it neat, right out of a bottle or a spoonful. That's all good. Or you can stir it into some even hot water and have just, like, a molasses tea. Right?
Okay.
And, you know, it's very, very interesting. Over the past dozen years, there have been a lot of very well-funded studies of vitamin D. And what those studies have found culminated last summer in an editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine, in which the editor said it is time to stop testing people for vitamin D and prescribing it because no supplemental vitamin D has a good outcome. Is it possible to get her into the sun?
I live in New York, so it's always, you know, always winter here, and the summer she's not really...
Excuse me, I live in New York, too. It's past spring solstice.
Right, but how much sun, like, she would need so much of it.
20 minutes a day.
Twenty minutes a day.
Can she do 20 minutes a day between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m.?
I mean, if there was sunlight, then I guess it would be possible. I don't know. But right now, her, like, vitamin D was so low, so I wanted to know, like, how to bring it up to, I don't know.
What is so low?
Her vitamin D was low when it was testing in the blood.
I'm telling you. 20 minutes of sunlight will make 20,000 international units of vitamin D.
Wow. Okay.
And what I say about vitamin D is make it. Don't take it. No study of vitamin D has shown any good outcome from taking it, no matter how low or deficient people were. It doesn't work as a supplement. She's low in vitamin D. She needs to go outside and expose her arms and her face without sunscreen to the sun for 20 minutes a day. That's all. If she doesn't want to do 20 minutes at one time, she could do 10 minutes 1 hour, and then an hour later she could do another 10 minutes. It needs to be, you know, in the middle of the day. I usually say between 11 and 12, but 11 and 1, but, you know, 10:30 to 2 o'clock, you could... It's just the sun is at its... during the time when the sun is really shining brightly. Our ancestors never took vitamin D supplements.
Right.
We're only vitamin D deficient if we're not in the sun or if we wear sunscreen all the time.
Right.
So that's the most... important thing, and I'm so glad to hear that the slippery elm is having its beneficent and healing effect.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for this advice.
You are so welcome. Dream blessing.
Can you please tell me about the calcium? What can I give also to increase calcium in her body?
Is she drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
No, is she?
Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
Yes, I have four of your books, and I've been in love with...
So you're drinking nourishing herbal infusions.
Yes, I've been doing metal tea and old straw and raspberries, and I just bought red clover. I haven't tried it yet, so I'm doing them like step by step.
Okay, and can you tell me about the scale that you use?
What is it?
The scale that you use?
Scale?
A scale to weigh the herb for your infusion.
Sea kelp? I don't use sea kelp.
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear you. You said sea kelp?
So it sounds to me like you're not making nourishing herbal infusion.
Oh.
A nourishing herbal infusion is 1 ounce of dried herb in 1 quart of boiling water steeped for at least 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. 1 ounce.
You have to have a scale.
Oh, I need a scale for that? No, I didn't measure. I would just take a tablespoon and I would put
a tablespoon is a tea.
So I need 1 ounce to 1 quarter.
An ounce?
I'm sorry, 1 quart.
An ounce of dried herb to 4 cups of boiling water.
Oh, wow. I put like 1 tablespoon to 4 cups. Oh, wow. Okay.
You're not drinking nourishing herbal infusions. You're drinking tea.
I thought I was.
And that's not going to get you very far. Or her either.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll do it this way now, yeah.
Okay.
I'll do it the correct way, yes. But for her, it's safe. So it's safe for her to drink all of the nourishing.
And once you start doing that, she will get plenty of calcium. The only reason she's low in calcium is because you haven't been using enough herb. A cup of nettle tea has 5 to 10 milligrams of calcium. A cup of nettle infusion has 250 milligrams of calcium.
Right. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yogurt is also, of course, a superb source of calcium.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. As little as a half a cup of yogurt on a daily basis will usually restore calcium levels within a month.
Right. Wow.
But you're not getting the minerals from your nourishing herbal infusions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not using enough herb. It's as though I said to you, I decided to improve my diet. I ate a slice of carrot tonight. You laugh at me. You're laughing at me because I ate a slice of carrot, right?
No.
Well, I'm laughing at you for putting a spoonful of herb in.
No, I'm laughing at myself because I was doing it wrong. And I
it's
thought
not
I
an infusion. It's a tea.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy I called you because now it's more clear to me that you know how to do it correctly. I'm happy
yes,
I called
I'm glad you called
too.
So get a scale and get yourself into some infusion. You'll see they look very different than tea. They're very dark.
Mm-hmm.
They're very rich.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple more calls. I'm going to say green blessings and bye bye to you for tonight. And see if I can talk to all
thank
three of you.
Thank you so much. Do you help?
My guest arrives. Green blessings. Good night.
All right, and there's 2 raised hands. We'll go next to the 401 area code. 401.
Hello, 401. Come in.
All right. We'll go next to 401 and hop over to the 732. And the 732, you are live and you're live.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was calling because I wanted to hear your thoughts on bleeding during ovulation, if you think that is something to be concerned about.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, we're not talking about, like, gouts of blood here. We're talking about a little stain, right?
Like... spotting to like a little more than spotting sometimes. It changes a bit, but most often than not just spotting.
Just spotting, right.
Okay.
No, it's considered totally normal.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Again, remembering, if you listen to the earlier part of the show, that under the influence of estradiol, a very dangerous kind of estrogen that we only make for one day out of the month, follicle-stimulating hormone surges and encourages the follicles to turn into eggs. And this message alerts progesterone. And so it's not a menstruation. It's just like a little, what's called a little bloody show. And dogs have it, right? Dogs don't menstruate, but they have a little bloody show when they ovulate sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Right, and they literally mean show as in it's a telltale that you're ovulating.
Oh, okay. Because I was told that maybe it means an ovulation, that I did not ovulate.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, it's a strong signal that you have ovulated.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, thank you so much.
Right.
That was my question. Appreciate it.
Thanks for asking. Good blessings. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Our two hands raised. We'll try you again in the 401 area code. Your line is open.
Hello, 401. Come in, come in. Did I hear a sound? Or is that Sarah Ellen there?
That was me. We'll go to the other call.
That's okay. I love you. I'm not disappointed that it's you.
Oh. All right. You are live with Susan in the 914.
Hi, Susan. I just jumped on, and I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm the person who was very concerned over months about having surgery for early breast cancer. And I just wanted to say that I did have the surgery, but it went so much better than expected. I didn't have to have the second surgery at all. And I feel like it's really, I feel like the nourishing herbal infusion has helped so greatly, and just all this lead up to the surgery. And I just recovered so fast, and, you know, I didn't have to do that second surgery. So, and I had clear margins, so it was really a good outcome. And everything that I, you know, the few times I spoke with you were really vital. And so I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you for calling back and sharing with us. It's so important to all the people who are listening that, yes, you know, drinking your nourishing herbal infusions doesn't save you from the ache of the world, but it gets you through it in real good shape.
Yes. Yes, I think everyone was so surprised, including myself. I'm continually surprised. But I am still facing radiation. So I've been reading your book on breast cancer, breast health, about that and how, what to do during it. And, you know, I'm still considering, like, am I going to do it, you know, versus the hormonal drugs and all that ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to
mm-hmm.
grapple with all that. So I want to, you know,
It's a lot. I wish that all places offer genetic tests, because the genetic tests are pretty good at seeing who's going to benefit from radiation and who isn't. The difficulty with the radiation, it's not that the radiation doesn't work. It works just fine, but it damages your lungs and your heart.
I definitely don't want to do it, but of course.
And I will freely say that if you were to put me in a time machine and take me back and say, Susan, you can have this radiation therapy or you can die, I might not choose to have the radiation therapy.
That's big, yeah. I hear you.
It started my journey into chronic pain.
Wow. Yeah.
And the radiation oncologist denied that I could be in any pain at all. Within the first three sessions of radiation, I felt like I'd been kicked in the butt by a mule, like I had menstrual pain when I was 14, and you just thought your body was just going to explode with the pain, and like I had eaten a quart of uncooked beans, and a brick wall had fallen on me. That's what the radiation made me feel like.
I bet you wanted to stop in your...
I wanted to stop every single day, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Because once I commit to it, I commit to it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It probably would have been better if I had stopped. Because the radiation only made my cancer angry.
Yeah.
It injured me. And it didn't get rid of the cancer. And we at least had a cancer we could see. You don't even have a cancer you can see. And this is literally, this kind of radiation is a just in case.
Exactly. And I think my case is very low grade and low risk in terms of the tissue, but in terms of risk, I have the BRCA1 so that, you know, so it flips into that category for, so it's still confusing.
And there's that on that side of it, but there's your amazing health and your being in touch with yourself on the other side of it.
Yeah, I feel like just talking with you and hearing these conversations has really jump-started that process again. I mean, I was already very helpful, but this it just gave a new attention to it.
Yes.
And the herbal infusion
cannot take
so
our health into account because they generally don't deal with healthy people.
Yeah. It just feels close to the earth to take those infusions.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah. So I'll
such
come
a
on
gift
again
to us from the plants.
More questions about radiation ahead. Thank you tonight.
Green blessings. You are welcome.
Green blessings. Thank you.
All right. And I do still see the hand in the 401. We have 3 minutes before our guest joins us. We'll go open that line again. In the 401. You can hear us. Your line is open at 401. You're live with Susan.
Not happening for 401. 290. Oh, well. Sometimes.
All right.
We get it, and sometimes it just doesn't seem to be there for us. However, I would not be at all surprised if Carolyn Jones is not already with us.
She is. I do see her in the queue, yes.
So let's welcome Carolyn Jones, founder of the Healing Project, an herbalist and holistic health practitioner who loves to share the message of natural self-care. Carolyn is the author of Pick Up Your Bed and Walk, a guide to improved health, and an affirmation book entitled Incantations. Welcome to the show, Carolyn. I'm so happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm especially interested on your perspective of integrating herbal medicine with conventional medicine. Tell us about your experiences and your take on that.
I really believe the integrative medicine is absolutely necessary in order to maintain whole body wellness. I believe that more and more people are waking up to the fact that pharmaceutical side effects keep them in a state of illness with no cure in sight, and they're really getting tired of that and want to be free of that bondage. I know I did.
As somebody once said, it used to be prescription medicine, and now it's subscription medicine.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that no matter what they want to call it, it is taking people down. It's keeping them depressed. It's giving them side effects that are sometimes worse than the illness that they have, you know. And not to mention iatrogenesis, which is medical error that has a very high incidence of medical error, people being prescribed incorrectly, and unnecessary mistakes being made.
So how do herbs fit in here? Do you use herbs instead of drugs, or do you integrate them?
Well, personally, I do. I had a doctor, she's retired now, and I don't know how I'll be able to find another doctor quite like her, but she kept a list of all of the natural medicines I used. And one time I went to her, I had a high blood pressure, not a lot, because I'm not on any medications or anything. And but somehow I think from me gaining a little bit more weight, I'm on the thin side, and I had put on, I think she wanted me to lose about 10 pounds. And I did, and the high blood pressure came down to normal. So, of course, we danced around her office, because she asked me about high blood pressure medicine. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, I'll take care of it. And I used kitchen medicine. I used herbs. And I brought myself back into balance, you know, and lost the weight that she suggested. So there are ways, if one has patience with oneself, and one trusts the plants, that you can help yourself. Of course, there are situations where you have to go to traditional medicine. You have to refer to that or defer to that.
Actually, but herbal medicine is traditional medicine. They're the upstarts, not us.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not going to let them take the term traditional. Traditional.
Okay, I'm right with you on that. But I also make a joke when I'm teaching and say there are a whole lot of parts that I probably could have kept that I've donated if I had known what I know now.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, say someone is taking blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
Do you then have them work with your kitchen medicines and herbs while they're taking their blood pressure medication?
Yes, because I would refer them to a naturopath to wean them off of it if that's what they wanted to do. I don't take on that responsibility to tell someone, you know, get off of your high blood pressure medicine. But mm-hmm. to give for instance, about self-care in general, I took a terrible fall about 2 weeks ago. I was acting my shoe size and not my age, and allowing my six-year-old great-grandson to chase me through the house. And so, you know, usually I'll fake like I'm running, but this time I got real courageous and put on a little speed. And ran into the bathroom and went to shut the door. And, of course, with his six-year-old self, he's like Flash Gordon. He pushed the door. And when he pushed the door, I lost my balance and fell back into the cast iron tub and hit my tailbone. And when I tell you, I howled like a wild animal, and I was so afraid I had fractured something. But he said to me, Graham, just take 5 minutes, okay? I said,
oh. He's a healer.
Yeah. as I was laying in the tub in fetal position, I was like, okay, just
okay,
I'll
take 5 minutes. You bet. Put some fine dyes over me and say a prayer.
Yes. And so when I was finally able to drag myself out of the tub, I went to my bone set tincture that I had made, and my Solomon Seal tincture and my bone set oil, those in order. And I had a nasty bruise after a couple of days. It didn't come out right away on the back of my right leg. And I started taking bentonite clay baths and mustard baths and using my essential oils. And St. John's wort, of course, and arnica oil, you know, and pulled myself back in order. I also added acupuncture to the self-care regimen. And I believe that session helped support everything else to work to its highest measure. But when I went to get a checkup, now this is integrating, I went to get a checkup about a week later, because before that I wouldn't have wanted anyone to touch me. I only trusted me to touch me. I went and got the x-rays and everything, and there was no fracture. And one of my friends laughed and said, you probably healed it already anyway. But when I asked, there was nothing they could have done if it was a fracture in the first place. So it's those kinds of situations where the plants become your very, very, very best friend if you know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, it's very important to have herbalists in your company that you can refer to and, you know, ask questions of.
So true. Do you know Ted Kepchuk or his work?
Excuse me?
Do you know of the work or the writings of Ted Kepchuk?
No, I don't.
Ted brought acupuncture to the United States. He started the Boston School of Acupuncture. I was actually lovers with a woman who was in the very first graduating class at the Boston School of Acupuncture. So I actually met Ted, and his book, The Web That Has No Weaver, which is the best book on Oriental theory of healing, came out the same year as my green book. And he and I find it very ironic that he was able to really establish acupuncture as, like, you know, a respectable thing because, 10, 12 years ago, Ted put down his needles and went to Harvard and said, I want to start a center for placebo studies here at Harvard, and I want to teach. And Ted is the only person who has neither a doctorate nor a PhD to teach at Harvard. And he has absolutely, without a doubt, shown that acupuncture is 100% placebo.
Mm. Well,
fascinating, isn't it, that the man who brought it to the country has been able to prove that it's powerful placebo, but that it is a placebo.
Well, I have pulled it up for myself so that I could purchase the book and read it. It's very interesting because I recently became a certified acupuncture detoxification specialist to work with...
The Web That Has No Weaver is a book that he wrote back when he was first bringing acupuncture. If you want to find out what he's into now...
Mm-hmm.
You need to look up what he's doing at Harvard, and he actually has a center for placebo studies there, and you can actually see the studies he's done. They're
all
pretty
right.
Easy to access. And also in my newest book, and if you give Kim your address, I'll send you a copy of it. I talk
mm-hmm.
at length about what Ted has been doing because I find it fascinating.
Oh, yes, that really sounds interesting. As I was saying, I recently got the certification to work with people who are substance abusers through On Point. And one of my teachers was a young lord at the time that acupuncture was brought to the Bronx. In the
All right.
Right. So.
Right. That's wonderful. And so we're using acupuncture to, when I was going through my radiation treatment, I made sure that I had acupuncture several times a week, and I loved it when they put the needle in the top of my head and said they were letting the steam out.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful? The only thing with acupuncture I had, the only one I didn't enjoy that much was I enjoyed it after they took the needles out. But facial acupuncture, because we have so many nerve endings in our face, it is not, I mean, you will do...
Mary Wakefield has been, in New York City, has been focalizing and doing acupuncture facelifts for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and...
no,
you know,
surgery facelift, but I agree with you, it's not exactly pleasant.
No, not at all. Not at all. I told, it was my friend who did it, his licensed acupuncturist out of Pacific College of, it was Oriental Medicine at that time, now it's Health and Science. I said, if I didn't know you, I would get up and fight you. This really hurts.
Fight you is when you beat you. I have been in, with acupuncture so long that I actually have my own stainless steel acupuncture needles, because when we started, we didn't have disposable ones.
Yeah,
you had to have your own needles, and when you went for treatment, you took your needles, and you were responsible for boiling them and keeping them nice.
Isn't
that interesting?
Yes, it is. It is, you know.
Now, how long do you think acupuncture's been around?
Well, it's been around thousands of years.
Excuse me, acupuncture depends on a fine steel thing. That has not been around for thousands of years. Acupuncture started in China in the 60s, the 1960s. Before that, it was all moxibustion and cupping.
Yes, and I was reading recently that they had another form or a different form of acupuncture in Egypt. And but you know what? I don't know. I've been reading that acupuncture was in China for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. I'm not sure. I have to reread that.
The system of tubos and meridians has been there for thousands of years.
Ah, maybe that's what it is.
Manipulation of those tubos and the understanding of those meridians and the five-element theory has been around for thousands of years. But the capability to draw a fine, thin piece of metal that we can actually use as a needle is very, very recent.
Well, I'm glad they found it because...
So you're helping people recover from addictions with acupuncture. That's fascinating.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you also using herbs at the same time with these people?
Not in this particular clinic. If I, if it were my clinic, I would definitely be serving herb teas along with it and recommending, you know, different herbal formulas. But there, they only use acupuncture. I do some auric massage. They do have Reiki. And they have a whole body massage. And let me see. Oh, I do sound therapy. They do sound therapy as well. But when I go in as a volunteer, I usually bless the people with tuning forks. They really love
that. Oh, how wonderful. Did you know you can use tuning forks to find out if you've broken a bone?
To do what?
To find out if a bone is broken.
Oh, I believe I read that, but talk to me.
You put the tuning forks, like you thought you may have broken your tailbone, right?
Well, I didn't think that, otherwise I wouldn't be able to walk, but I was wondering if
right.
I had fractured anything.
Well, actually, I broke my tailbone, and I was quite able to walk.
Really? What?
I broke my tailbone in five places,
and
I didn't know for 2 years until
it?
I got an x-ray.
How did you heal it?
You don't. You can't.
Well, it healed itself, right?
Not really.
Well, you don't.
Every time I would
help move your healing along.
When the tailbone is several small bones fused together, and when it breaks into those bones, and they don't fuse back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is your tailbones.
So, do you have any repercussions from that? Chronic repercussions?
At this point, I don't, because my tailbone was surgically removed.
Oh, okay. All right.
Along with half my sacrum, my anus, my rectum, the lower half of my descending colon, the back half of my vagina, my uterus. It took them 17 hours to gut me.
Where were you?
Memorial Sloan Kettering.
Okay. In New York.
Yeah, New York, you bet.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I often repeat that I told the surgeons beforehand, you're not working on a Ford, you're working on a Mercedes. You treat it like a Mercedes. I do. And the lead surgeon came to me afterwards and he said, you're not a Mercedes, you're a Lamborghini. So this is what we want. Our herbs don't necessarily save us from what goes on, but they'll get us through it.
Yes, yes.
Anyone can become addicted. It's not a failure of personality or willpower to become addicted.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the opioid addiction epidemic was basically fueled by women given opioids after pelvic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so many women suffer from chronic pain after pelvic surgery that they just kept taking them, not really understanding that addiction is a physical thing.
Yes.
It's not bad morals or bad willpower. And once you are addicted, it's really difficult to become unaddicted. So I'm so thrilled that we have this extra thing to offer people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
now, one of the questions I can ask you is, what are three of your favorite herbs? And that's always a great question.
Yes. Well, I was thinking about that question, and I realized that it changes with the times, because over the last 3 weeks, my favorite herbs have been bone set, Solomon's seal, and white willow bark.
There you go. Now, do you know why it's called bone set?
Tell me. Oh, well, now, I believe that it's because it helps the bone grow back into its normal position. It
has nothing to do with bones.
Tell me.
The flu used to be called break bone fever, and bone set acts on the muscles.
Mm.
So it's bone set because it relieves the flu. And it's the single most effective herb against COVID.
That's interesting.
But it won't do anything at all for bones. You want something that's really going to help your bones. That's comfrey. Nick bone.
Mm-hmm.
Consolidida. The thing that consolidates. I fell in Costa Rica. I didn't know at the time that I had broken my wrist. X-ray, hours and hours and hours away. I wasn't going there. Mm-hmm. And after I got home, about 3 months afterwards, I said, you know, you need to stop babying this. And I always go to a physical therapist when I've been injured that way and I want to, like, move away from ooh, ooh, ooh and into what can I do. I ask an expert to really, like, guide my way there so that I don't overdo it. And she wouldn't work with me until I had an X-ray. And the X-ray technician looked at the X-ray and said, well, you didn't break your wrist 3 months ago. You broke your wrist 3 years ago.
What?
That's what comfrey did.
Well, you know, you're making me make sure I put that on my list for I have to pick
you
up.
You bet.
On
comfrey is one of the nourishing herbal infusions that I drink on a regular basis. There are 5 herbs that I drink regularly, one a day. So I'm drinking 6 quarts of nettle a month. 6 quarts of oat straw a month, 6 quarts of red clover a month, 6 quarts of comfrey a month, and 6 quarts of linden a month.
Oh, I've been on linden. I made...
Yeah, talk to us about linden.
Yes, linden, hibiscus, and hyssop. I've been blending them into a nice tea for myself and the seniors that I serve. Matter of fact, we just had some today. Because of the calming effects of linden, and it tastes delicious, too. And with hyssop, which is good for pretty much everything that ails you.
But a little bit on the bitter side.
Yes, it is. But I put a little bit of honey in it to...
nice.
That.
And then the hibiscus makes it so pretty and red.
Yes, yes. It's beautiful.
Everybody likes to drink red liquid.
Yes, they do. And it also has a little bit of a bitter to it, too. But they liked it. Mm-hmm.
And I think that linden is a fabulous anti-inflammatory.
Yes. Yes.
So what a gift you are giving them.
Thank you.
Solomon Seal is making a big inroad. I first came upon it, strangely enough, as a Chinese herb.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about
and, you know, kind of followed its trail back, and I said, well, golly, gee, Susan, this is an herb that grows in your forest here in America. So tell us a little bit more about your relationship with Solomon Seal.
Well, I came to know about Solomon Seal. Matthew Wood is one of my mentors. I also teach for the Matthew Wood Institute of Herbalism. And
I love Matthew. Give him a... kiss for me next time you see
oh,
him.
Oh, absolutely.
I just saw him, but it was on a Zoom meeting for Ancient Roots of Israel, so I didn't really get to see him.
Really? Yeah, the last time I saw him, he came to New York, and I took him to New York Botanical Garden for the orchid. Yes. We had a great time.
Yay. He's so wonderful.
He is. And so...
sometimes I think of him like a fumbling professor, but when I always look back on it, I think, you know, there was a lot of stuff in there. Even though he seems like he's fumbling, there's a lot of content.
Ooh, I'm telling you. It just spills out.
Right.
And one of our advanced herbalism, we used to have these advanced herbalism sessions that he would lead. And he told us about bone set and Solomon Seal at that time.
Actually,
the reason why...
Now,
I,
are you using the bone set root?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I prefer to use the flower. It's a plant that's very common to my area.
Hmm, lucky you. I use... he told us about Benedictine. That was during COVID. And so
mm-hmm.
I... use Benedictine as my tincture basis, and I made a Solomon Seal tincture with Benedictine. And
Benedictine is a kind of liqueur, yes?
Yes.
Got it.
With 28 herbs. It's made with 28 herbs. And it makes for a very tasty tincture. And, you know, it's great. You know, to make a tonic.
I can imagine it would make a wonderful tasting tincture. It's already a tincture.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically how I came to know about Bone Set and Solomon Seal through
Solomon
Matt.
Solomon Seal was from Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I had a German student, and it's used a lot in Germany, the Solomon Seal.
Really?
Yeah. And I was
surprised. What do they use it for, basically? And what do
same
you
use kind of things, like contusions, you know, car wrecks. I think he said, you know, when you're just bumped and bruised and bundled about.
Mm-hmm. It does some great work.
It really does.
Yes, and I do want to stress the bentonite clay because, first of all, it soothed my spirit as well as worked on my body. I didn't take it internally. I put about a half a cup in my bath water, and I soaked for like 20 minutes every day. I haven't been using it for the last 3 days. I've been using mustard powder. But it's either one or the other that I use. And then I would slather St. John's wort oil on my side and my leg when I got out of the
tree. The Hypericum Conference, St. John's Wort Conference, many people talked about using it as a wound remedy, and that's like its oldest thing. Is a wound remedy. I had never really thought of it as a wound remedy, but wow, it's at least as good as Arnica.
Yes, Arnica was my friend too. I used the homeopathic version of Arnica as well.
Mm-hmm.
6C. But actually I used some today because the weather change was laying in my bones a bit. So that helped me. I just took it once. I didn't have to take it the whole day. I just took it once, and it did its work.
All right. Excellent. Well, we're on a blog talk show, which means they're going to cut us off fairly soon. So what haven't I asked you that you really wanted to talk about? Want to talk about your books? Want to talk about a program that's going on? Fill us in on something exciting you're doing.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to be able to get out into the community and speak. And what I'd like to do is have people invite me to speak at their community gathering, their church, at a conference, whatever, about kitchen medicine and self-healing and self-care and self-love using plant medicine, especially kitchen medicine. You have it right there at your fingertips and you don't really know that what you're using could heal you if you use it a certain way. You know, I just did a...
I was totally over the moon when I discovered that cinnamon stops menstrual flooding.
Ooh, and had I known, I would have been...
Right?
It down my throat.
Talk about kitchen medicine and something that so many women give it up on.
Yes. So
just
boil
some up or make some tincture to have on hand. You want some for the future, make some tincture. I love my cinnamon tincture. Or right there at the moment, just take some cinnamon. Even if it's just the powder and hot water, it'll stop the bleeding.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm very interested in the fact that they have a menstrual movement at Brooklyn College. I'm right across the street from Brooklyn College.
Uh-huh.
And I'm about to contact Women's Center. And I will definitely share that information with them and let them know who told me.
Spread it around. I also just wanted to mention, listeners, when we're talking about, like, putting powder in your bathtub, that is really fine if you live in a city. But if you live in the country and you're dealing with your own septic system, you do not want to be putting clay and mustard powder or anything like that in your bathtub. Even lavender flowers are going to cause you a huge plumbing problem.
Mm-hmm. So what should they do? Use packs instead?
You could spread just, you know, wet some of the powder down and spread. What I like to do is spread like a whitewash, like a thin layer on so that it dries in about 5 minutes and brush it off. If I have a brush, so much the better for the skin stimulation. And if need be, do it again and again.
I like it. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I wish we lived closer. It'd be so much fun to work together. Wouldn't it, though? So tell listeners how they can get in touch with you, please.
You can reach me through my website, www.behealed.info, and you can email me at cmjonesmedia@gmail.com. I'd love to hear.
C.M. Jones. Yes. All right, that makes it easy. You know, I am so thrilled that you are out there doing the work with so many of us to restore herbal medicine to its rightful place as people's medicine. This is not something we need degrees for or big fancy places. That's great if we want to have them, but we don't need to have them because herbal medicine is kitchen medicine. It's women's medicine. It's been in the hands of the women, the mothers, the grandmothers, and our ancestors for a long time. So thank you so, so much for helping to restore herbal medicine back into people's hands. And I also thank that we are reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients. And I want to acknowledge and thank you for the beautiful threads that you're weaving into this cloak. Self-love, self-care, the herbs, respect for the earth, your brilliant and wonderful love and care that you are sharing with so many people. Thank you so much. Hey, Sarah Ellen, I love you. Steady on there. You'll make it. Green blessings, everybody.
Yes, thank you for having me, Susan. I love you.
Oh, I love you, love. Green blessings. Good night, everybody.
Good night, love.